Welcome to A Break in the Action, where we take a break from the business of our days to focus on outdoor pursuits and the traditional sporting lifestyle. Join us for discussion and interviews on vintage and modern break action shotguns, sporting literature, outdoor leisure, and reviews of best-in-class gear, accessories, and destinations. So pour yourself a drink, sit back, relax, and let's take a break in the action. A Break in the Action is proud to be sponsored by Dewberry of Ireland, B&P Shot Shells, Negrini Cases, and Cole Fine Guns and Gunsmithing. And now, here's your host, shotgun collector, wing shooter, and sporting clays enthusiast, Ryan Dowdy.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. We've been super busy around here, finalizing details for upcoming trips, interviewing guests, and always making new connections. In the next few weeks, we'll be headed off to Prairie Wildlife in Mississippi to experience Jalice. Lots to look forward to with that trip. I believe our listeners' Downton Day on May the 18th is either sold out or has one final opening left. If you have interest in joining us, please don't wait. Contact Green Acres Sportsman's Club at 217-395-2588 to reserve your spot. This episode is about the process, rules, and regulations associated with flying with your shotgun. I hope you get the opportunity to travel to hunt or shoot, if not often, at least occasionally. Seeing new places and chasing new species really rounds out a hunter. While there's much to be said for the hunter that knows intimately his regular fields, fence rows, or popple stands, where the birds are and equally where they aren't. The way that the weather all year has affected the hunting in these microenvironments so that you can confidently know when it's okay to take a few extra birds for the freezer, or when due to a poor hatch, it's better to apologize to your dog later for not taking as many shots. I appreciate places being that familiar in the sense of ownership, even if not recognized by law, that this kind of familiarity brings. That all being said, finding yourself in a wholly new place at dawn, filled with interesting new smells, different flora and terrain, ideally chasing a bird that you don't often see, or maybe one that is completely alien, is an amazing and an unforgettable experience. Getting away to hunt can be as easy as hitting the other side of your state, maybe a road trip, or flying to the other side of the country or beyond its borders. We're going to spend some time on this last version today. Experienced travelers develop special skills when they are frequently in and out of airports. I fly several times a year and developed or copied some time-saving practices and habits that significantly lower the stresses that can come along with air travel. One nuance of air travel that I'm completely unfamiliar with, though, is traveling with my shotgun. This year has several opportunities on the calendar for fly-in, hunting, and shooting trips. As I have begun researching flying with my shotgun, I thought it might make for an interesting and informative episode for listeners planning their own adventures. So today we're going to dig into what you need to consider when you decide to bring your shotgun along. So it seems to me that the very first order of business is selecting which gun to bring. If you have several options, you're going to need to balance which one you would most like to take with which would hurt the least if it was lost, stolen, or damaged. We're going to get into insurance in just a bit, but you need to remember that insurance can only compensate you for the loss of your dad's Fox A-grade or vintage Purdy over and under. It won't be able to bring it back. Truly special guns, or guns truly special to you, should probably skip trips that involve the airport. Save those for local hunts or drive-to hunts where that case prized possession won't leave your sight. Being a shotgun enthusiast who, on this podcast, has mentioned how much I like to attach moments to inanimate objects, specifically here shotguns, I'll still be traveling with something better than an easily replaceable standard 686 or Satori. There is a balance, though, and which gun you bring should be carefully considered. Wear and tear is another consideration. I recently picked up a wonderful Alex Martin Continental 20-gauge over and under game gun with 30-inch barrels and a dropout trigger plate action. This gun is built for doves and pigeons, but there isn't a chance that I would bring it on a high-volume dove shoot in Cordoba. The number of shots that you will see in one day there is probably more than this gun has seen in all of its 22-year existence. For that type of trip, leave your break-action gun at home. Hold your nose and borrow one of the Lodge's Benelli's. I'm kidding, of course. Listeners will know that I love my Benelli semi-autos. Something new that I learned is that on domestic flights, the Department of Transportation allows airlines to limit their liability. The maximum amount an airline has to pay for lost or damaged luggage on a domestic flight is $3,800. Airlines may pay more than the limit, but are not required to do so. This then brings up the topic of insurance for your shotgun. Understand that your basic homeowner's insurance policy is going to have quite a few limitations regarding damage or loss of a firearm while you're away from your home or traveling. As an example, you might have coverage for up to $5,000 on your policy, but that could fall to just $1,000 if you're away from home. Additional coverage should definitely be considered. I reached out to Larry Cushman of Gun and Trophy Insurance. Larry offered a ton of great information and even some general pricing quotes. They offer both unscheduled, that is to say generic, you don't need to individually list your guns and have them appraised, and scheduled policies that require descriptions, serial numbers, and valuations of the covered guns. Whichever you choose, the annual premiums for collections up to $48,000 can be as low as a couple hundred dollars per year. That's pretty cheap peace of mind. In the U.S., the TSA, or Transportation Security Administration, governs every movement within the airport, and they have very specific rules with regards to flying with firearms and ammunition. Initially, I plan on skipping ammunition altogether. It's easy enough to buy shot shells at the destination or arrange to ship a supply straight to the lodge. At least until I'm comfortable with the process and the regulations governing getting my gun to the destination, I don't want to add complications for ammo. This week, I reached out to Rick Miller, Transportation Security Inspector, Aviation for the TSA based at Indianapolis International Airport, to lay out TSA's guidelines for us. Rick, I appreciate you joining me today. Obviously, you and TSA are going to have some of the most important information points in this conversation. The simple fact is that a shotgun can never be a carried-on item onto a plane, so there's a process that's in place from when someone enters the airport with a firearm, and TSA governs that process, correct?
That's correct.
So what I'd like to hear from you then is, what is the TSA recommended process? What are the steps that someone should follow from the minute they step foot on the airport property to ensure that they correctly, safely, and legally fly with their shotgun?
Sure, absolutely. First of all, I just want to say thank you so much for having me on. This is a really great opportunity for us, and we're really excited to be able to share this information right from us.
Sure.
And to get to your question there, it's a very simple process. The basic rules are that the firearm must be unloaded. It must be in a locked, hard-sided container. And when we say locked, what we mean is locked in a manner that prevents access to the firearm. So think of your long, single, shotgun case. If you've got one lock on one end of the firearm, that probably won't cut it, because you could pretty easily open up the other end and be able to slide the firearm out. If your particular case, if you can put two locks on it and that prevents you from opening the case easily to access the firearm, totally good to go. We do not regulate what type of locks you use. You can use any lock you want. You can use a TSA luggage lock if you so choose. I don't personally use that when I travel with my firearms. I use a regular padlock, but the regulation in 49 CFR says that it must be a lock that only the passenger retains the key or the combination to.
Okay.
The only exception to that we've made. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
So I want to interrupt you to clarify something that I've always wondered. From the time the gun leaves my possession, once it's checked and it rolls away, that there's any number of random people who need to be able to open it up,
yep,
and inspect it, even including baggage handlers. Is that true, or does it stay closed and locked throughout the process?
I will say that there's a potential that a TSA baggage screening officer may need to open that case. It all depends on the technology that's in use in whatever airport you're traveling from, wherever you check that firearm, be it here in Indianapolis or in Seattle or in Texas, just depends on the airport and what technology they're employing. If when that firearm case, be it a pistol case that's inside another piece of checked luggage or even a long gun case, as it goes through the system, if the technology gets a weird image, if it for whatever reason can't see or the technology says, hey, I need a better look at this that requires a human intervention, a TSA employee will typically ask for your keys or the combination. With that said, there is a process where the passenger has the right to be present if we need to get into that case. I can tell you specifically at Indianapolis what that's going to look like is one of our officers at the back of the checkpoint will, you know, ask for your keys, and they'll give you two offers. They'll either say, we can bring your bag up to a secured room, and we'll bring you over to that room, and then you can be present while we open the case and do the additional screening we need. That process can take a little bit longer, so we always recommend adding some more time. The other thing that we offer at Indianapolis because of our setup locally is we actually have CCTV viewing stations right at the supervisor podium at the checkpoint. So you can hand your keys off to a TSA supervisor and then watch live on CCTV while they open your case, do what they need to do, close it up, resecure it, and then bring you your keys back.
Got it. And if it's a combination style lock, does that complicate it at all, or is it the same process?
Same process. It would be the same process. The only time that a TSA employee would be able to access your firearm inside of that case is if you had TSA luggage approved locks on that firearm case, which we do allow. That is an option for you. But again, that's one that's completely up to you. You don't have to use those locks.
Okay. I don't want to put you on the spot, but do individual carriers have their own rules? Do they have kind of like overlays above and beyond the guidelines, or is TSA the final word governing firearms, specifically shotguns and how they're handled all throughout the airport?
Yes. So that's a great thing that you brought up there, because we always tell people that, yes, we give you the basic rules. And in the government, we always say that it's okay if you go over and above as long as you're doing the minimum. And like I said, the minimum is in a locked hard-sided container. So, you know, as long as it prevents access to the firearm. But yes, you're right. There are certain carriers that have additional requirements. There are at least two carriers that I'm aware of that require, if there's a hole in the firearm case for a lock, it must have a lock in it. Whereas other ones are good with just if it secures with two locks, that's great. And other ones, you know, so some of these big Pelican cases that we see out there and some of the other cases, you know, they'll have 6, 7, 8 holes to put a lock in. So these certain carriers will require a lock in each case. So we always encourage a passenger to check with their carrier, whoever they're flying, for the specific rules.
Okay. Great information. Thank you.
Yep.
Getting back to our first steps, once you've entered the airport property, take me through the process involved in checking your gun.
So I kind of mentioned it at the beginning, it's got to be unloaded. So that should happen when you pack it. You know, shotgun, obviously nothing in the barrel, in the magazines. If, you know, and just, I know we're talking shotgun specifically, but for firearms in general, if you have a firearm that has a magazine, the magazine cannot be inserted in the magwell of the weapon at all. That would, even if it's not seated, if it's in the magwell, the regulations consider that loaded. So as long as it's out of the magwell, it can be in the same case. That's perfectly acceptable. So unloaded, locked up in the hard-sided case, you'll take it to whatever airline you're flying, take it to their ticket counter. And as you're checking in for your flight and checking your bag, you let the agent know that you have an unloaded firearm to declare. And that's going to be the key word for that ticket agent to pull out the firearm declaration form. And every carrier's looks just a little bit different, but almost all of them are either bright orange or bright red. And they're very, every carrier knows what that is. And what that form says, they all have similar language. And basically that's you as the passenger declaring to the airline that firearm is A, unloaded, it's properly packaged in the locked hard-sided container, and that you are submitting it to them for check luggage. And then that's how the airline complies.
Okay. So is that declaration a step that you can only do at the airport when you arrive, or is that something that you can do, fill out that form in advance?
So that step will always occur at the ticket counter when you arrive at the airport, okay. That declaration step.
Okay.
So you, if you coordinate in advance with the airline, you may let them know, but likely the airline's just going to say, okay, let them know when you check in, because that's always the point. They're going to hand you that declaration form. You'll fill it out. It's usually acknowledging that, yes, it's unloaded, as I said. And then they're going to take that declaration form on a long gun case. They should, this is the only time that you'll open that case in the public area of the airport, is when you check that firearm and you fill that tag out. If it's a long gun case that's going to be by itself, you'll open it up just enough to stick that declaration card inside the case with the firearm. You'll close it back up and lock it. If it's a handgun case that's inside another piece of check luggage, what should happen is you'll open your suitcase, you'll place that declaration tag right on top of your locked hard-sided container or in immediate proximity to it, and then close your suitcase back up, and then it'll go through check luggage as everything else.
Is that declarations form process pretty efficient, or should someone allow a bit more time at the airport to complete that step?
I would say that it doesn't add any... In my opinion, from every time I've traveled personally with my firearms, or when I observe it at the airport as part of my regulatory compliance inspection duties with the carriers, that specific piece doesn't necessarily add any additional time. It could add a little bit. We always encourage passengers to give themselves a little bit extra, but those declaration tags, all of the carriers keep them at their ticket counter. They've got them handy. So, and they've done it enough times that a passenger coming up and, you know, declaring a firearm to them shouldn't be a surprise. The reason that we would ask people to give a little bit of extra time is kind of like we talked about before. Once it goes through that screening process, if there's a need to open that firearms case for some reason, that's where you could potentially run into a little bit more of a delay, especially if it's the type of event where you would like to be present. And again, I would say that's going to depend a lot on what airport you're at. I used to live in Las Vegas, Nevada, for instance, and the way that airport was laid out, when I declared my firearm, I actually didn't give my check bag to the agent. I would walk down to the end of the counter where there was a room where they had a TSA officer that would take my bag directly from me. And then I would wait outside the door and they would come back and give me a thumbs up, you're good to go, or they'd say, we need your keys. So every airport, just a little bit different. Always, you know, again, we recommend give yourself a little bit of a buffer, but it shouldn't be an overly burdensome process.
Okay. So once that form is filled out and inserted into your case, does your gun pretty much follow the same path as all checked bags follow through the airport? Or is there some special route that your shotgun will take to get onto the plane?
As far as the luggage handling procedures are exactly the same when you give, whether it's just a regular check bag with clothes in it, or it's a check bag with a firearm, or even a long gun case, a shotgun in your case, it will follow the exact same path as far as the agent taking it, getting it through the screening process, and then they maintain custody and control of it throughout the traveling process. They take it down, they load it on the aircraft. The only difference is, and this is, again, it's kind of carrier specific, some air carriers will not deliver firearms to the carousel at the destination. They will bring them to what they call their baggage service office or their BSO office. And then the passenger would have to go there and show their ID to claim their bag.
Okay. Okay. You read my mind with my final question. I was going to follow up with a question regarding, you know, once you arrive at your destination, how and where do you pick up your shotgun? Does the carrier usually give you those instructions when you initially check the bag?
I always recommend that again, passengers check with their carrier on where they're going to pick it up. Most of the carriers will tell you when you declare and that you put it in, they'll say, hey, pick this up at the baggage office at your destination.
Okay.
Again, one of the rubs with that is that in certain locations, depending on the size of the airport, that carrier may not have a traditional baggage office. You know, I think of my family is from Michigan, and I've spent some time in the Upper Peninsula before, and some of the airports up there are smaller, so they don't have a traditional baggage office. And if a passenger were to have one, it may be at the ticket counter area. So just check with the carrier and wherever you're going to be going, and they may have special instructions.
Are there any other TSA requirements that you would want to make sure that we cover before we wrap up today?
Sure. Yeah. A couple of things that I like to share when I'm doing these outreach and trying to help people understand the rules is that, like I said, the big key points to remember are unloaded in a locked hard sided container and declared to your airline at the ticket counter when you check the bag, never at the checkpoint. You mentioned ammunition a little bit earlier, and I get this question a lot, so I won't spend a lot of time, but I will say the regulation on ammunition states that it must be in a container that's designed and manufactured to carry ammunition. Really what we're trying to avoid here is that loose pack, bulk pack. I'll admit that I'm guilty. I've got a sock full of, you know, 40 cal at home right now, and that right. doesn't fly, right?
Right.
So, but a factory box of ammunition, perfectly acceptable. And yes, it can be in the case with the firearm as long as it's not loaded into the firearm, if that makes sense.
It does. It does.
Yep. And then just those other little things about, you know, making sure that, you know, we always also tell passengers that they're responsible for knowing the firearm regulations wherever they're going to be. That's not, you know, all we do at TSA is we help you understand how to get it to where you're going and then get it home safely.
Right. Right. Well, Rick, you've been a fantastic resource. And I have to say that as I've been considering my own personal travel this year with a shotgun, the TSA piece has really had the ability to kind of keep me nervous, because you definitely don't want to mess this part up, right? Thanks for clarifying everything. Honestly, it sounds very straightforward, and it doesn't really seem to me like if someone spends some time investigating and planning that this is something that they're likely to mess up. So thank you for that clarity.
Absolutely.
For those interested in more information, is there a website you would like to direct them to?
Absolutely. So a little shameless plug here, TSA.gov. The Indiana compliance team, we recently worked with TSA headquarters and the Strategic Communications and Public Affairs Office to update our traveling with a firearm information. We're really proud of it. We here locally in Indianapolis, our team was the one that helped develop it with the SCPA folks, and they've just released it. It is posted on TSA.gov. It's a one-page document, and it has all the basics with just a little bit more information and a few more links on where passengers can go if they need more. The other shameless plug, if you don't mind, that I'll throw out there is that here in Indianapolis, we have been setting up booths and attending the Indy 1500 gun show. And we go there, and we're there specifically to help educate passengers, answer questions. We have firearm cases, we do demonstrations, and we have those flyers available. So we'd love to see you come out and say hi. We're always friendly and happy to talk to folks.
Yep. Yep. Well, I appreciate it. You work out of my home airport here, so I'm confident that you'll have one of my cases pass by you at some point this year. Thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having us again.
So the TSA states that your shotgun must be checked in a locked, hard-sided container. There are options here, but I would suggest you skip the generic and inexpensive Plano-style cases. I guarantee that once you check your shotgun at the airport, no one will treat it with as much care as you do. You need a good quality case. Pelican and AmeriCase are good options, but they're heavy and bigger than they need to be. Remember, you're already going to be juggling the rest of your luggage and gear at the airport. I choose Negrini cases. They're just as strong, lighter, and noticeably more compact than other top quality cases. John Redout is the VP of Operations for Negrini. John, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sure. So this piece is a part of a larger conversation on flying with your shotgun, air travel with your shotgun. Anyone who listens to the podcast knows that I'm a big fan of Negrini cases and have been for a while. I wanted to have you on today to tell us why Negrini cases are so special, so much different than the other options.
Yeah, understood. So for Negrini, think of Negrini as a ultralight, compact, rugged case like a Pelican, but at 60% of the weight less. And, you know, it's a crash test bumper technology. Okay. And the reason why I say that is because the designer / inventor of Negrini cases, Franco Negrini, started out in the automotive industry. And he was a thermoplastic engineer, and he learned and cut his teeth, you know, with everything that he does with Negrini cases from that. So, and just in to get kind of nerdy here, you have two shells. You have your outer shells and your inner shells, and they are sonically welded together in a specific array for shock absorption. So now, not only do you have a rugged, very, ultra light case, you also have something that is going to, suspend the shock of any kind of impact that you're going to get when you travel. So when those airline gorillas are moving cases around, when they go to throw it, and they're probably more apt not to, because they're not going to be as heavy as those big aluminum cases or even large, long, oversized, military style cases. It's gonna take that impact of that abuse.
And I can even say that while I haven't yet navigated an airport with either of my Negrini cases, just simply moving these things around and into and out of my vehicle, when you compare this with some of the other premium cases on the market, it's amazing that you've gotten the same gun and gear into so much smaller and lighter of a package. They're fantastic. How about the locking system? What can you tell us about the locks that Negrini uses?
As far as our locks are, I mean, they're integrated, so they are part of the case. They're not like other case makers. They may have these little padlock holes in around the exterior of the case. Mm-hmm. Well, believe it or not, if there's six and you only have two, you still need to get another four. Mm. You cannot leave any of those open. And even the TSA will say, nope, not compliant to fly. You need to go, get four more locks for this case. Our cases are integrated locks. So then they're hardened steel combination locks. They're actually, those are made in Germany. And, they're easily to set, also easily to replace if there's any damage, but also mainly they're recessed. And that recessed lock, they will not get snagged on any sort of luggage belt. They would take your luggage out to the planes on any
or
other
sheared
luggage.
Off.
Yeah, exactly. And also the hinges on the bottom side of the case too, because those are all riveted into the actual chassis, the body of the case. Those are recessed as well. So when you're on a table and you slide that across your wood table to somebody, it's the ABS that's sliding. It's not the metal that's scraping against the table at the bottom.
Yeah. I actually heard something similar from the TSA representative that I spoke to regarding locks. He said that even if TSA doesn't require every available locking point on your case to have a lock in it, it's quite possible that the carrier could require that. I would assume that in your role with Negrini that you probably have quite a bit of experience flying with a gun. Do you have any best practices or tips of your own that you can share with us?
Oh, absolutely. When I fly, and this goes with not just our cases, but all cases, you want to block it out. Block it out meaning any foam, even clothing. You want to make sure that your barrels or the rifle itself or, whatever firearm can't shimmy or move around inside the case. It's gonna eliminate, any damage that may cause by being inside the case. Even though our cases, in the bottom sides, typically you'll see, let's talk shotguns. You're going to see a wrist strap, and you want to make sure that wrist strap in there. But don't leave it to the wrist strap to hold the stock and receiver in place. You're going to want to take some foam blocks and cut those out in a wedge fit so nothing inside becomes a projectile. The same goes for the barrel, or even if you had the forearm that is separated from the barrel in some of our cases, in our newer style cases, you want to make sure none of that becomes a projectile in the case where, it's going to fly around. Metal is harder than steel, but damage the interior of the case, rubbing, the velvet of the inside is not, immune to any kind of, chafing. So you want to protect that. And another thing too is, we provide other accessories for our cases. So we have gun socks, which is a really nice 6 ounce flannel. That actually is just an added layer of protection from dirt and grime, grease, because we do oil our guns and even solvents. But you store your your barrels and in your stock and receiver and your forearm in separate gun socks. So we do have those available. And then also your chokes and accessories, you know, any kind of accessories from speed wrenches for the clay guys that are constantly changing out their extended chokes. You know, we have accessory cases for those. We have a variety of different colors available, so you can kind of identify what's inside. But definitely make sure that you have that all inside its own case, with inside the case, to protect everything around it, so nothing goes flying around inside the case as you travel.
Yep, I agree 100%. I definitely like to keep everything secure inside the case. You definitely don't want a bunch of loose tools or chokes bouncing around that can mar your wood or metal finishes. Great stuff, John. I appreciate this short bit a lot. I'm sure that you'd be glad to offer up the Negrini website if anybody wants to learn a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can head over to negrinicases.com, N-E-G-R-I-N-I, cases, C-A-S-E-S.com, where you'll find a variety of different shotgun, rifle, and even handgun cases for travel, car club and home use, storage. You know, we have integrated locks in all of our cases. That's the key part, one of the key parts about our product line. And then actually, if you're interested in anything in the fly fishing industry, check out crunnecases.com.
You bet. You bet. Thanks again, John. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate you.
Well, by this point, you've selected your travel shotgun, you know the rules, you have an expectation of the process, and you have a proper case to transport your gun. Recapping some of the packing tips that John mentioned, make sure that your gun is strapped in place securely and wedged in with foam blocks. This is also the time to use those socks that your gun may have been shipped with. Keep accessories to a minimum inside the case, as these can be jostled around and potentially mar the finish on wood or metal surfaces. I would recommend cleaning your gun thoroughly and applying a fresh, light coat of oil. Condensation is another consideration. The cargo hold on most planes will usually be pressurized, but not as insulated as the main cabin. Boeing states that they maintain a temperature of no less than 44 degrees Fahrenheit, that's 7 degrees Celsius, in the cargo hold. That's pretty cold. We all know that swings in temperature can produce condensation, especially if your gun was cased on a muggy, humid day. I suggest throwing in a few medium-sized silica gel desiccant packs in your case and keep a few fresh ones for the return flight home. These are dirt cheap, and again, they offer some pretty inexpensive insurance. Well, that pretty much covers domestic travel with your shotgun. International travel adds another layer of requirements that you need to be aware of. Not so much in the procedure that you'll follow at the airport, checking and then reclaiming your shotgun, but with regards to legally possessing that shotgun in another country. My not extensive research has come up with the following requirements for the four most common destination countries: the UK, which is comprised of England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland, Spain, South America, and Africa. The countries in the UK are going to be some of the more popular destinations that we'll cover, and I will say that while there are very specific steps that you must complete accurately and correctly, it's one of the more straightforward processes that I'm going to lay out. First and foremost, you must apply for a visitor's firearm or shotgun permit at least 6 weeks before you travel. The application process is relatively simple, and permits cost about £20 per person. The most confusing step in this process has to do with the requirement that the completed application must be submitted by a sponsor. Sponsors must be a resident of Great Britain, and it's usually a private individual, but it could be someone that submits the application in the capacity of a club, shooting syndicate, country estate, or shooting organization. In most cases, a private sponsor will be a firearm shotgun certificate holder, but it's not a requirement to act as a sponsor or to submit the application to their local firearms licensing department on behalf of the visitor. Permits will be sent by the police to the sponsor, who will in turn forward them to you, the visitor. One final note about the UK. In most cases, this same visitor's permit and process is required to borrow or possess a shotgun that is already located in the UK. So even if you don't plan on bringing your own gun, the process is very similar. The only real exemption would be if you plan to be with a licensed, designated loader or instructor the entire time you are near your shotgun. Next, let's discuss Spain and South America. South America consists of 12 countries, and each will have their own processes and regulations. But for the purpose of today, we're going to focus on one of the most likely destinations, Argentina. Spain and Argentina both require a document from the nearest consulate translated into Spanish, allowing you to travel with the guns that you want to use. This must be done in person, so your proximity to the applicable consulate should be considered. Argentina does state that all over and under and side-by-side shotguns with barrels longer than 24 inches are exempt of the consulate permit. Beyond that, the process is very familiar. You'll need proof of identity, need to complete a form and a questionnaire, and pay a small fee. Finally, if you're planning a trip to hunt Franklin in Africa, you're going to need to obtain a temporary firearms import permit in advance of your trip. In many cases, your outfitter applies for this on your behalf. Most countries in Africa collect a fee for the processing cost, and you're going to be required to provide proof that you are, in fact, the owner of the gun that you're traveling with. Before you depart from the U.S., and no matter which country you're traveling to, you're going to want to complete a Form 4457 with the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Office. This is in addition to the paperwork we discussed earlier that the TSA is going to require your carrier to prepare. Having the Form 4457 completed and presented to a Customs and Border Protection officer at the airport will speed up the process of you reclaiming this shotgun when you get back into the U.S. and avoid any questions as to whether duties or tariffs are due. I want to make one last note. If you're traveling abroad with your shotgun, do what you can so that you don't stand out or draw unnecessary attention. Be low-key. Your case shouldn't be decorated with gun company logo decals or obvious tells. Strolling into the lobby in Texas carrying what is obviously a gun case won't even get noticed. Doing the same on a one-day layover at a hotel in London won't be the same story. Once you've taken the steps to legally possess your shotgun in another country, you want to be the equivalent of a gray man with it. You don't want to stand out. Those Negrini cases that we talked about, they also have an optional nylon dust cover to help you blend in. Makes it look just like any other piece of luggage. I want to give a special shout out to Liz Delaney of Delaney & Sons, an absolute pro when it comes to the arrangements needed to book U.S. shooters with top wing shooting experience around the globe. Liz helped me clarify some of the above information. My goal with this episode has been to hopefully clarify the process that you need to be aware of to legally travel with your shotgun hassle-free. I don't pretend to be an expert, and this episode does not take the place of you doing your own investigating and due diligence. And now for some quick information about our sponsors. Negrini's Italian-designed crash-test double-wall bumper technology is the strongest, lightest weight case in the shooting sports and outdoor industry. How light? Up to 65% lighter than most aluminum gun cases. All Negrini cases are TSA compliant and come with a limited lifetime warranty. Luxury finishes are available in 100% Italian leather to complement your beautiful shotgun. With over 40 years of experience making the best quality cases, you can trust that Negrini has you covered. Since 1937, Dewberry of Ireland has been expertly combining rugged, all-weather functionality with timeless style for both men and women. Not only are they home to the Galway boot, the iconic, original, waterproof, breathable, Gore-Tex-lined leather Wellington boot, but they also craft a wide collection of footwear, clothing, and accessories to handle whatever conditions life might throw at you. Check them out at dewberry.com to discover your perfect fit. Boschieri & Pellagri is recognized worldwide for its design, production, and distribution of premium shot shell ammunition and components. From its custom powders and plastic wads to its innovative Gordon system cases and loaded ammunition, B&P has a long demonstrated history of providing high-quality shot shell products for smoothbore guns for use in competition and in hunting. B&P shot shells, primed to perform. Established in 1985, Cole Fine Guns and Gunsmithing is a family-owned and operated business serving shotgun enthusiasts across the United States and beyond. Known as the Beretta experts and specializing in European shotguns, there is no better place to make your next purchase or access a full menu of shotgun services. Cole has developed a team of shotgun experts, the most complete in the industry, and the most extensive service offerings in the industry. For a limited time, Cole is offering special pricing on new DT-11s with either custom stocks or TSK adjustable stocks. Details are available at www.colegun.com. Find out for yourself what the Cole experience is all about. Well, that wraps us up. Just a reminder that our Patreon page is open if you would like to support the podcast with a few dollars. All Patreon supporters are automatically entered to win our great gear giveaway each quarter. Our first giveaway will be at the end of this month, and it's for a fantastic Tom Beckby Upland Strap Vest. Find out more information at www.patreon.com/abreakintheaction. Stay tuned in for more great content on shotguns, shooting, and the sporting lifestyle. And until next time,
we hope you have enjoyed this episode of A Break in the Action. Want to hear your voice on a future episode? Leave a message, ask a question, or suggest a topic on our listener line at 317-662-4520. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and visit us at abreakintheaction.com.